This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News Editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
The International Tennis Hall of Fame Museum in Newport is open again with a new look after a $3 million renovation. And to talk about that, our guest is Museum Director Douglas Stark. Doug, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
At what point did someone sit back and say, I think we need a new look? What was the genesis of that?
So the genesis was part of a larger capital campaign to enhance our campus. We're on Bellevue Avenue in Newport. We are 6 acres, and we have 13 grass courts. We have a museum. We have the historic Newport Casino building. But I think there was an impetus to enhance the campus, the amenities, and its connection to the Newport community. So a capital campaign had been started to include 4 things. One was a new indoor tennis facility. One was improvements to our stadium facility, where we host our tournament every year, improvements to the museum, and as well as a new office and mixed-use building on Memorial Boulevard.
Was there a feeling that there was a connection being lost with the community?
I think so, and I think we wanted to enhance the museum experience and create a more an experience that had more technology and would appeal to a younger audience, more families, and to drive families and a younger audience in and then connect them with the tennis and the history of tennis.
Now, when you speak about more technology, I mean, there are holograms there, right? Is that, and then do you play them or what do you do with them?
So we have a number of memorable moments that we've created throughout the museum. The one you've referred to is the Roger Federer hologram. The hologram technology within a sports museum in the United States, we are the first ones to incorporate that. And it's a 7-minute presentation, and Roger walks out into this theater space and he talks to the audience about his love of tennis, which is very similar to the love that all of our tennis fans have, and encourages them to play and why it's fun and why it's accessible. And it's an exciting presentation. There's a lot of interactivity and movement and videos, and we think that that's going to be a big draw for us.
Now, you just had the grand opening. Did you have children coming through and being sort of oohed and aahed over that?
Yes. So we opened yesterday to the public, and our closing speaker was Stan Smith, one of our Hall of Famers and the current president of the Hall of Fame. And he kept talking about the hologram in his speech. And then after we cut the ribbon, we opened the doors, everybody made a beeline to the hologram theater. And we had a line out the theater halfway down the museum. People missed a lot of the other activities, but I think they circled back later.
What are some of the other highlights of the museum's new look?
So what we tried to do was better tell the story of tennis and to connect that story with our Hall of Famers, so that we've personalized the stories and really connect them to the people that helped grow and develop the game. And we also wanted to situate this story within the architectural space. We're a National Historic Landmark. It's a McKim, Mead & White building. Stanford White gets a lot of credit for the interior design. And we also wanted to incorporate a lot more technology in our collection. So in addition to the hologram, we have a 5-foot interactive table where visitors can play a trivia game and the ball sort of bounces back and forth. And there's also stations there to call up more information about tennis and culture. And that's an activity where 6 people can do it at once. And we wanted to create experiences where people could do it as a group and not have individual experiences but group experiences.
How do you make it interesting for the casual tennis fan or someone who is not a tennis fan but is visiting Newport and wants to take a look?
So we do get a lot of tennis fans, but a lot of our visitors are also interested in the architecture. And Newport, as a city, has wonderful architecture and historic buildings. So we attract people that are interested in our grounds and the architecture. And I'd like to think in this building we've included aspects from all of our collections. So there's historic furniture, there's decorative arts, there's fashion, in addition to the tennis rackets and the trophies. And I think that that's an opportunity for people to see how tennis has been incorporated into all aspects of who we are. And we also have opened up the back half of the museum architecturally. It was a little dark and cramped, and we found three fireplaces, which were original to the building, that had been covered up. And so now there's a much more cohesive architectural aesthetic running throughout the experience.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. Our guest is Douglas Stark, the director of the International Tennis Hall of Fame Museum in Newport.
Doug, were you able to bring more of the collection out into exhibition?
We were. We have, the old museum had about 1,200 objects on display, and now we have over 1,900. So we've increased it by about a third. And again, it includes objects from all parts of our collection. And a lot of the exhibit cases have these drawers, so you can pull out and see a lot of the smaller items that we could never exhibit before. They could be rare books. They could be smaller decorative pieces. They might be accessories, jewelry, and games and dolls and things like that. So we feel that there's a broad range of our collection on display and that it really relates to the entire history of tennis.
In building the new look for the museum and, in fact, broadening the whole complex and adding features, you've been doing some hiring of people. Anything for local contractors, local experts and artisans?
So during the course of the renovation, we worked with Bean Brothers. They were the general contractors out of Middletown. And they are working on not only the museum, which they just completed, but also on the new indoor tennis facility and mixed-use office retail space as well. So they've had a lot of their staff as well as some of their subcontractors working, including electricians, flooring companies, carpets, so forth. And that's been a good way to include the local contractors within this project.
And when you talk about mixed use, and first off, does the building hearken to the architecture of the original Hall of Fame? And then secondly, what are you doing at the ground level?
So on Memorial Boulevard, we have these two buildings which will connect. One is the new indoor tennis facility with three indoor courts. There'll also be three outdoor hard courts with a bubble or air structure over them so they can be used year-round. And the other building will have office space and also some retail space on the ground level. So they'll be available for rental for businesses in the community to use. And architecturally, the intent was to have it look similar to McKibb, Mead & White's original shingle-style design on Bellevue, so that it sort of enhances and also rounds out our entire 7-acre campus architecturally.
As we wrap up, let me ask you, is there an artifact or two that surprised you the most?
What was interesting is as walls were being opened up, we found objects, not of the collection, but old beer cans and an old check written in pencil from years ago for a couple of dollars. So we found some of that. But I would say that our art collection is very strong. We have some George Bellows lithographs, and he was summered in Middletown, and he painted paintings of tennis in the Newport Casino in the 20s. We have a few of those lithographs. And we also have a wonderful decorative arts collection, which is sprinkled throughout.
Okay, the International Tennis Hall of Fame Museum in Newport is open again, and we've been speaking with its director, Doug Stark. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Again, thanks to Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.